Hey folks, how are you doing? Welcome to my daily video. Trust you're having a great day. I am in Northern Ireland this morning. Meeting some folks for lunch here today and then driving down to Dublin in the Republic of Ireland. And be flying back to New England. It's a cold day here in Northern Ireland. It's overcast and cold, and I'm being a masochist sitting outside. But having a really great cup of Irish tea, which is a good way to start the morning. So, top of the morning to you. Hey, in a second, I just want to share some thoughts on how we can live above crisis in our life. Really great teaching here today, real quick. As always, if you're new to my YouTube channel, please consider hitting the subscribe button there. Give this video a thumbs up, share it. And lastly, why not subscribe for our weekly email newsletter? Details below, and we send a free gift to everybody who does that. Boom. Well, let me share something with you which has really helped me over the years. And I really put it in the title. Is it possible to live above crisis? Let me start here. We're all going to go through crises. All of us are. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. And if you ever step into the error of thinking that living a life of faith means you won't live a life of challenges, then that's not the life of faith, that's the life of pretense. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to be persecuted. If you're going to live in the world, in the fallen world, you will go through troubles, trials, persecutions. And, you know, as I often say, I think it's actually a bit of a fool's game to try to play the why game. Why am I going through this? It's not wrong to ask that question. It's not wrong to ask God that question, but I don't feel it's a prayer God always answers. I like to put it this way. I think because we live in the world we live in, we're going to go through 7 different types of suffering. And I have a teaching on this somewhere else. Real quickly, you're going to suffer at times because God wants you to suffer that will help you grow. You're going to go through suffering that's caused by the enemy. There is a devil. There are demons. He's real. And that suffering that time. Sometimes you go through suffering just because of yourself. It's not God. It's not the devil. It's just you. You know, it's me. We do the wrong thing. We do dumb things. We reap what we sow. Number 4, sometimes we go through suffering just because of our friends or those around us. And it's not God wants you to. It's not Satan sending it. It's not you. It's the people you are with. Boom. Number 5, sometimes we go through suffering just because we are living in a fallen world. The creation groans for the manifestations of the sons of God. And there is a place we will suffer until the creation is redeemed by the Creator. So there's a place where we're going to go through suffering. The tectonic plates are going to shift and there'll be earthquakes and the weather patterns won't be perfect. And, you know, we're living in a fallen world, so the suffering that way. This suffering, it's really the main kind of suffering you read about in the New Testament. Suffering when we proclaim the gospel. Suffering through persecution because we preach and proclaim the gospel. And lastly, there is suffering, number 7. There's suffering we go through when we get a glimpse of who God is and what heaven is like and what it's like to be in His presence. And then it's like we were still here on the earth. That's the suffering Jesus spoke about concerning fasting when he said of John the Baptist disciples, they fast, but my disciples don't fast now. But he said the time will come when the bridegroom is removed from them and then they will fast. So here's my point. You're going to go through suffering. Number 1. What happens with all of us? I think there's really 3 reactions I see again and again and again when people suffer. Reaction number 1 is bitterness. Is confusion, is questions, is resentment. You know, people go through crises and you're in a very noisy place here today. People go through crises and it often makes them bitter. Yeah, I want to say that clearly. Crisis, suffering does not always make you better. It can make you bitter. And see, many people go through things and they get frustrated and they start blaming, why is God doing this? And quite often it's not God. And you know, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. So when we go through suffering, number 1, we can respond in a bad way that gets us bitter and mad. Number 2, there's the kind of what I call the evangelical response, is when we go through suffering, we often create theology out of suffering rather than from the Word of God. Let me say that again. So often we'll go through something and we end up developing a theology of pain, a theology Don't eat of the bread of sorrows. It's a bad bread. Eat of the bread of the Word of God. And sometimes you're going through one of those Job situations and you need to be okay. Don't develop a theology out of your pain. Develop a theology out of the Word. And what many evangelicals will do is go through something and then, because they don't know why they're going through it, they'll develop some, well, God wants me to be sick and God's doing this and something that's not in the Bible. And yet they find comfort in kind of putting a theological hook in their life they can hook things on. Okay? I think the third option, and the one I'm much more a fan of, the one I've done most of in my life, is when we're going through a crisis, is believe God for a way out, believe God for breakthrough, believe God for, you know, deliverance to that suffering. If you're going through healing, believe God for if you're going through sickness, believe God for healing. If you're going through financial penury, believe God to be your provider. And yet, here's where I want to go real quick today. I have been a faith preacher since the 1980s. Been a man of faith, love faith. And yet what I had to learn, and I'm probably still learning in some ways, is I found it very easy to live a life where I was kind of gravitating and going through from crisis to faith to deliverance and then back to crisis. And it's like I find myself in this cycle where, you know, let's just use financial need in a way. I used to live from crisis to miracle. Crisis to miracle. Every week I had a miracle because every week I had a crisis. And that sounds a wonderful way to live, but it's a horrible way to live, actually. You know, I've got some great testimonies of God putting gas in my car, supernaturally driving for hours with, you know, on empty, this kind of thing. And those are great testimonies to tell in a church or conference, but they're a horrible way of living. And I see so many people who sort of stagger, like some drunken person, so to speak, in the way they're walking from a crisis to, oh God, God save me. And then they're straight back in the same place. I see many people who live from sickness to healing, to sickness to healing, to sickness to healing. I see people who live from sin, shame, to forgiveness, and then, oh, back again. And I think Satan loves to keep us in these open cycles. And my challenge to you today is it's possible to live above crisis. It's possible to fly so high that you're living above turbulence. It's possible to live in such a way that you're not believing for deliverance, you're believing for freedom. Yeah? Rather than believing for healing, there's something better than healing, and that's believing God for health. Rather than believing God for a miracle to put gas in my tank today, I could believe him to have enough money in the bank account that I just go and swipe my card and pay, and then I can help pay for somebody else. Rather than believing to live in cycles of sin and forgiveness, I can rather live in a cycle of grace above those things. And I want to give you a real quick, I'm nearly out of time, but a few quick keys to live above crisis. I'm going to blast through these, but come on. Key number one, this is possible. This is how Jesus lives. You never actually saw Jesus go through a crisis once. Now, you could say he went through a crisis at the cross, but he went through that vicariously for you and I. It wasn't a crisis for himself. Jesus never got healed. Yeah? Jesus was never in need in that sense. He met other people's needs. Jesus never sinned. He lived in victory. And we're called to live. 1 John 2:6 says we should walk even as he walked. We're called to live his life and to walk his walk. So number one, this is possible. And if you need to chew on that for a while, if you need to just raise the bar of your faith, then so be it. But keep working on that. Begin to believe this is possible. It's possible to live above sickness. It's possible to live above need. Hallelujah. Come on, key number two, let go of the past. Just because you've failed 100 times on this in the past doesn't mean you have to fail today or tomorrow. So be willing to let go of that past. Remember, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So let go of those things. Key number three, this is really where we get into this. Sow into the future now with your faith. Now, track with me for a sec. What most of us are doing when we live in these cycles of crisis is we have a problem yesterday, and then we're trying to use our faith today to rescue a situation that happened yesterday or this morning in the past. It's like we're living present past. We're trying to build our faith now for a bill that hit yesterday. We're trying to build our faith now for a diagnosis that hit us yesterday. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that's living in that crisis faith cycle. What we should be doing today is sowing our faith into tomorrow, believing for tomorrow. And the great news is it's a lot easier to believe for something when you're not under pressure. If, this is not true, but if I would have woke up today feeling sick as a dog, whatever, it's a lot harder to begin taking my faith out of the closet, so to speak, and building my faith now when I'm feeling, when I'm in the emotions, when I'm in the need place of that. But it's actually a lot easier today when the sun is shining, figuratively speaking, when everything's great, to be sowing my faith in tomorrow, say for the rest of my life, I'm going to walk in health. I'll never catch COVID. I'll never catch cancer. I'll never catch a cold. To be developing my faith in that way when I don't have a need, it's a lot easier to believe God for provision. When you have money in the bank, when all is good, when you're not feeling the pressure of crisis, it's a lot easier to believe that God guides you and leads you for the rest of your life when you're not in a crisis thing where you have to hear from Him. So, key number three, take your faith and sow your faith today into tomorrow. Key number four, anytime you take a step of faith in an area, if you would say today, I'm not going to live from sickness to healing, I'm going to live in health. Well, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but it's not as if Satan will come and go, oh, okay, I'll just back off. If you take a position, you will be tested. I remember years ago in about 1988, preaching a whole sermon on divine health, and I woke up the next day as sick as a dog. Come on, I'm not projecting negative things on you. I'm saying if you're going to take a position of faith, you're going to be tested on that. Don't think it's strange that you're tested on that. But here's the really great news. Every test pushes you. Every test will either push you away from that. Imagine I take a position that says, I'm going to believe that my God has supplied. I'm going to live in the current supply of God rather than need crisis. If I take that position, every attack that comes against me will either cause me to cast away my confidence, which has great recompense of reward for I have need of patience, or it will kind of anchor me and push me further into that place. So if I'm believing God for health, if every time I'm attacked in my health, I just push into that and say, no, by His stripes, I am healed. I have health by the word of God. His word is life to those who find it in health. Every attack reinforces what I believe and anchors me and pushes me deeper into that. Boom. And the really great key as well is if you resist Satan, he will flee. And if you will keep saying, it is written, it is written, it is written, there comes a time he'll leave you for a better time. And if you stay in the word, he'll never find one. Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4. Good. Two more things real quick. Key number five to this is simply this, top up. You know, it takes a lot of energy, it takes a lot of gasoline, petrol, to move a car from the car park, the parking lot, to the place where it's going at 80 miles an hour on a highway. It takes a lot of effort, all those gears and acceleration. But once you're flying along on the highway, it's actually very easy to maintain and keep that speed, keep your car going at 80 miles an hour takes very little effort, very little gasoline. And the danger is if you take your foot off the accelerator, it will go for quite a while. I think this is true. I hope this is true. I once heard somebody say, you know, one of these big Boeing 747s, whatever, flying over the Atlantic. I heard if both engines, they lose both engines, that thing can still fly for over 100 miles because it's got such an altitude. And it's got such a speed and momentum, and you know, through aerodynamics, it can stay in the air a long, long time. The danger is we press into a place of victory and we're enjoying that place of victory, hallelujah, and then we take our foot off the gas. And the way, when you've established that place of victory, you're living above crisis in your life, the key is to sow into that every day. Sow into it in big, not in big ways, but in little ways. The key is every day to maintain, to sow a little bit more into your faith for that walk for the rest of your life. It's like keeping yourself on cruise control, but don't take it for granted, okay? And here's my last thought to you, dear guys. If you do that, if you'll step into that place where you're living in health rather than healing, you're living in supply rather than need, what you really do is you step into a ministry. You step into the place where you give health away, you give victory away, you give grace away, you give forgiveness away, you give provision away. That's a really great place to live. You stop being a person of need and you start being a person of supply to others, your life becomes a large tree that the birds of the air come and find shelter under. Sheila. Boom. Well, I'm way over time today. Thanks for watching, guys. It is a blessing to have you here, and I am cheering you on wherever you're at in your walk with God today. Bye for now.